Welcome to the NFL.
Welcome to the NFL, rookie.
Hello, and welcome to this week's episode of the DWZ. That's right, the Dynasty Warzone's very own rookie rundown. As always, I am your host, Dallas. You can find me on all the social medias at Salad Galore. That is Dallas spelled backwards with the double L galore. And it is great to be back here with you all talking rookies in this 2024 NFL rookie draft class. We are officially post-free agency. I went on about a week and a half hiatus here with episodes at the time of hearing for you all listening to this, because I wanted to see what happened in free agency. This free agency class, along with this NFL draft class, it had a lot of talent in it. Just a lot of different options for a lot of different teams, a lot of different wide receivers, running backs, quarterbacks, tight ends, all switching locations. A lot of needs for offensive skill positions across the league on multiple teams, many teams needing basically one person at every single position that I'm going to talk about in the series today and in next week's episode. But I wanted to let it kind of the board set a little bit. I wanted to see where some of these free agents went, some of the bigger names, where they would not be putting in that high draft capital for most of the players that I'm going to talk about today. So now that we know where all of these people have landed, the only ones still waiting that I have as significantly sufficient fantasy free agents that could switch up a wide receiver group of note would be Tyler Boyd and Michael Thomas. Currently, everyone else has pretty much hammered down their location, including running backs, wide receivers, quarterbacks, etc. So I'm going to break this series into two separate episodes. I'm going to combine the quarterbacks, running backs, and tight ends into this first episode. And then I'm going to do a big boy episode next week on exclusively the wide receiver position. A lot of wide receivers that I want to give team fits for in this draft class, especially due to the fact that we may have the most wide receivers drafted in NFL history this year. The average has been right around the 25 to 28 range over the last decade or so. That has in recent years boomed up with years of 34, 32, and 29 over the last 3 years of the NFL draft. So could we push for 40 total? There's a lot of analysts, including Matt Walden, that have upwards of 45, 50 people that are at the wide receiver position that are prospects with draftable grades. It'll be very intriguing, especially in a, I would say, not as deep class across the board, to see just how many of these wide receivers go off. So that's why next week's episode will be a little bit more in depth at that one singular position as opposed to sprinkling throughout the other ones. That does not mean that with this week's episode, you are not going to get a lot of names and a lot of team fits. No, 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 because we do still have 25 names and team fits across the quarterback, running back, and tight end position in this year's rookie draft class that I want to touch on. And then I'll kind of be doing a breakdown of the offenses and what you should be looking for come draft day across these two episodes. So now that we're through all of that, I'll give you the last little tidbit of information that everyone here on the DWZ network does. Make sure if you're not following, liking, subscribing across the board on whatever your streaming platform is, make sure to do it. Helps us out. Make sure that you are in the know for all of my episodes. And then if you're interested in a more in-depth scenario where you can have live conversations with all the DWZ crew, get first access to a lot of other Patreon specific things. You guessed it. It's the Patreon. Patreon / I believe DWZ. Memphis will probably correct that for you once he listens to this. But it's a fun place to be. Now that we're done with all the programming notes, let's just hop in. It was the year of the quarterback carousel. I will get the Justin Fields situation out of the way. He's gone. I'm done talking about it. It hurts just due to the fact of me understanding, I guess is what I would say, what we could have done to support him earlier on in his career and the overall lack of an attempt to do that outside of one acquisition in DJ Moore last year. Seeing what we're doing so quickly right now with Caleb Williams is kind of hard to stomach. as a Bears fan. And I think that's what's not being conveyed a lot from Bears fans across Twitter. It makes them an easy punching bag. It makes Justin Fields an easy punching bag. It's just the understanding of the raw talent coming out that Justin Fields was, the ability that we should have been able to do much better by him and much better by the team overall on offense than what we did. And we're now doing it. Cool, fun chapter. Hopefully it pans out. If it blows up in our faces, though, let me tell you, the fan base is going to be even more unbearable than most of you all think we are. But talking about quarterbacks, the carousel, that was just one of many dominoes. There was like 25 quarterbacks that switched teams this year, including starters and not starters. The first one we'll talk about, like I said, Justin Fields, he is out, transitioned out. That puts Chicago at the forefront with the number one overall pick to, you guessed it, select Caleb Williams. Now, Caleb Williams both makes the most sense from a prospect standpoint of being the best quarterback in this year's class, bar none. But also the fact that when you're looking at the new offensive coordinator and offensive system in Chicago, you're looking for a quick rhythm passer, someone that is extremely accurate underneath, but then can still work outside of the pocket because, as we know with the NFL, about 30% of the plays don't go how you want them to when it comes to offensive line blocking across the board for any team, regardless of how good they are. So being able to work out of structure, which is Caleb Williams' best trait aside from his accuracy, is something that is very lauded. Quick rhythm offense in the Shane Waldron system, it's a perfect pairing for that and should be very interesting with the additions of Keenan Allen this offseason, DJ Moore last year, and DeAndre Swift from Philadelphia, now the lead running back there in Chicago. So that was the first one, just easily to kind of get off the board and easy peasy, don't want to beat it to death. The number two overall pick in the NFL draft is the Washington Commanders. They have traded away Sam Howell. They no longer have Jacoby Brissett on the roster, meaning that their cupboard is pretty bare. As of right now, they do not have a true bona fide starter, meaning they are going to be drafting a true bona fide starter. They brought back Cliff Kingsbury to be the air raid type, quick passing, true West Coast gimmicky offense. Five wide is his MO. It was the MO in college. It was the MO at Arizona when he was the head coach there. And it was once again the MO at his time in USC. Very interesting to see how he was running and working that offense with Lincoln Riley. It seemed to have gotten quite a bit worse when he joined on, is all I will say. But when you're looking at an air raid, quick, throw it all over the field, you need someone with quick rhythm, good accuracy, and a cannon of an arm to make all the throws. Drake May just makes a little bit too much sense for the Washington Commanders. It's the type of fit that is meant to happen. I know there's a lot of interesting takes regarding Jaden Daniels coming in because there's an illusion that Cliff Kingsbury always wants an athletic rushing quarterback, even though Cliff Kingsbury does not call rushing plays for the quarterback. It's just not a part of the offense. They do some RPO work in college, in his time in college, but that was never a large portion of Kyler's game. Kyler's scrambling effect when he was in Arizona with Kingsbury was much more attributed to the offensive line imploding, Kyler needing to make magic happen without the true receiving cast around him. And that's kind of where that moniker started for the average NFL fan. So I will parry that down a little bit. Now, granted, this quarterback class is wild. I'm just going with my fits that I think the most sense. And for me, Washington at number two, with the weapons they have, the infrastructure around them, and the type of system they want to run, it kind of leans more towards Drake May than any of the other guns. There is another one, but there's no way they're taking him at two. And I will get to that point when we talk. Up at number three for the quarterback position is the New England Patriots. They brought back Mr. Brissett, a former New England Patriot, as a true bridge. And this is where it just kind of makes sense. They're looking for a upside starter is what I would say in New England. That's not the desired style of play that these other guys have. I have the specific systems marked down, but we don't really know what's going to be happening in New England in this offense. So you're just kind of looking for someone to most likely sit behind Jaden Daniels, because outside of Drake May and outside of Caleb Williams, I'm not positive that any of these guys should or will be starting week one in the NFL for their respective teams. And that's why I'm giving them Jaden Daniels out of LSU. He is a very average to good passer at multiple levels. The only thing that he lacks is a strong arm. Luckily, New England and the systems that they typically have a tendency to run, which should be status quo this year, even with a new head coach, is they don't typically have incredibly deep targets. I will say that he has a serviceable arm. He just doesn't have the cannon of an arm that all the other prospects at the top of this list have. The one thing that Jaden Daniels does have, though, is anticipation. His anticipation specifically on the deep out and his accuracy on the deep out and able to pinpoint at the college level was very impressive. He is a good field general, and he has a level of athleticism that none of the quarterbacks that have been in New England over the last couple of years have had. They tried the Cam experience. They tried the classic rerun of the Tom Brady experience, neither of which worked out very well. So why not bring in Jaden Daniels to kind of mesh the best of both worlds, is what I would say, with a true prototypical new age starting quarterback that has a lot of athletic upside, some skills at the passing ability, but needs to fine tune his game when it comes to decision making on the run and inside the pocket. Going on to the next quarterback needy team, you are still looking at the New York Giants. Now, the thing with the New York Giants is their moves this year have not been in line with the rumors, is what I would say. The rumors on the street is that they are actively attempting to look at getting another quarterback. I just don't think that that is an active attempt at the number five spot in the NFL draft. Sorry, the number six spot in the NFL draft. I think they are much more in place to add a true wide receiver. One at six, kind of give Daniel Jones one more year and either draft a developmental high upside guy in this year's draft in the second or third round, or forego it for the 2025 rookie class. Now, this type of system that they work with Dable is predicated on play action and deep passing. It's a very vertical scheme. That's why everyone you see on that team typically has a vertical deep threat speed attribute that they are constantly looking for and constantly bringing in. The quarterback that I think that actually does that kind of the best outside of Michael Penix in this class is Spencer Rattler. And it's the one that kind of meshes with where the perceived value, perceived draft capital at the quarterback position is and what the team need is going to be. So when I look at the New York Giants, I think Spencer Rattler is exactly what you would want. You bring in a guy with all the tools, the pedigree in college to be a true NFL starter when it comes to traits, but needs to fine tune it a little bit. Who better to do that than Brian Daboll, who was able to do that in Buffalo with Josh Allen? Bring in Spencer Rattler, very quick release, very, very, very big arm. The big and main thing that he has issues with is his decision making. And that is exactly what was going on with Josh Allen. I'm not comparing the two players as to what they do. I'm comparing the two players as to the type of prospect and the type of coddling that they needed coming out in college. I want to make that abundantly clear. But in this deep passing scheme, he is really the guy that I would be going after in the second or potentially even the third round for New York. Let Daniel Jones' contract get to a point where it's palpable, I guess, to your fan base to not just sit there and sink all of that money away. Give him a true shot, a healthy shot, because he didn't look abysmal last year when he was in there, but he just didn't look good. Hopefully adding a true number one wide receiver with the compliments of the six slot receivers that are currently on the team will help them out a little bit. Going on to the number seven position, this is where I expect kind of a trade to hop in. So the rest of these teams are the ones that are question marks at best. You have Denver, who gave up on Russell Wilson. For some unbeknownst reason, gave up on Russell Wilson. Unfortunately, I don't know who they want. I don't know if they're actually going to bring in a year one starter, and I don't really know what Sean Payton's doing. But with the type of system that Sean Payton does, also, I don't want to call it an air raid, but a very gimmicky, a full spread West Coast type of offense, there are few players that do that better, in my opinion, than Jordan Travis out of Florida State University. So I am probably the highest on Jordan Travis that will be talked about in most of your podcast listening formats. For me, this is my guy this year, just as I've done in the last couple of years, that falls into that category of he's going to be most likely at the end of this, when said and done, my five or six. So I don't have him drastically high, but I have him drastically higher than the disrespect that he has in the class. Previous years, the guys that I had in this type of mold, Jake Haener tore his ACL, that's TBD from last year. The year prior to that, I was a really big, why am I blanking on this guy? A notable guy that I can think of from 3 years ago would be Davis Mills. I had Davis Mills as my four. A lot of people thought I was crazy on that.
Turns out he was a two-year starter for Houston. I don't think that's exactly what you're going to get from George Travis. You are dealing with an injury, but when it comes to the ability to make all the throws, the decision-making is extremely sound as well. And when it comes to the physical traits to be a true runner as well, Denver could do a lot worse than bringing in a prospect like Jordan Travis, who they don't have to start day one. Most likely they're not going to anyways if they're not drafting a high-end quarterback in the first round. So you're getting a guy most likely in the third, fourth, or fifth round. You are going to allow him to get fully healthy. And then guess what? He could probably get the reins at the end of the season and do better than probably half this class at quarterback position at a bare minimum. So he's a guy I'm pretty high on. My statement to you would be, if you are very high on Keon Coleman or Jaheim Bell or on Johnny Wilson, I would probably go back and watch the tape again and pay attention specifically to the ball placement on those throws. Jordan Travis is very accurate. He usually makes the correct decision, doesn't have a lot of interceptions or turnovers in general over the last couple of years, and is just a very good game manager with plus athleticism, which is not a combo that you typically get. I like him a lot in this year's class, and I think he makes a lot of sense for Denver. Going on to another QB needy team that is currently out of the ability to move up to get him until they make the trade after their first round acquisition of Houston's pick for chump change, basically. Minnesota, they now have two firsts, pick 11, pick 23, most likely going to be moving up, but they could also just stay there and have two firsts at a pretty cheap cost at this point, depending on how the board starts to fall. Everyone's pairing them to JJ McCarthy. I still think the best fit for that specific team is Michael Penix Jr. Give him a very solid offensive line, two wonderful wide receivers in Justin Jefferson and in Jordan Addison, and then a true playmaking tight end in Hockenson coming back from injury as well. That's probably the best situation for a rookie quarterback outside of Chicago to fall into. It's very fun. The NFC North should be pretty interesting, but I like Michael Penix there a lot. I think it's the safest option for him, and it makes a lot of sense just because I have a lot less questions about Michael Penix's game and who he is as a player as opposed to JJ McCarthy. That's just kind of where I'm at on it. And then the last one of the bunch, the one that everyone is laughing at kind of just because this whole quarterback situation makes no sense as to what they're doing. The Las Vegas Raiders brought in Gardner Minshew on a $25 million deal after a quarterback season that would typically be laughed at, is what I say. He didn't look that good. What I have to say. It's not like he blew people out of the water. I've seen backups play better than what he played this year. He's still the same guy who makes really bad decisions when the ball is in his hands and in crunch time. He's a worse passer, worst accurate passer, and worst arm strength passer than Kirk Cousins with the same lack of clutch gene, is what I would say about Gardner Minshew. So that's just something to consider. I don't think he's a long-term starter. They gave him backup money. Ultimately, it was just high-end backup money. So in this quick rhythm offense that they're most likely going to be running there in Las Vegas, Bo Nix makes a ton of sense for the Raiders. I don't really like Bo Nix. I'm not a huge Bo Nix guy, but this type of system, quick rhythm, quick hitter. If you're not getting Caleb Williams, I think Bo Nix is the best at that when it comes to his short and intermediate accuracy. It's Caleb Williams and Bo Nix at the top of that. So love that fit for him. I think it's the most logical situation if they're not trading up for a quarterback, which mortgaging for one as the QB4, QB5 is an interesting decision to say the least in this position. But that's kind of where I'm at with the quarterback position. Moving on to the tight ends, we'll leave running backs for last. We are going to jump into, I have a total of seven guys here that I think are good enough to be contributors in fantasy, in dynasty, and are going to teams in these fits based off of the type of tight end that they need and just the drastic need, I guess, for the tight end position. Number one for me, the best fit that I can think of for Brock Bowers, the New York Jets, bringing in Brock Bowers to pair with now Garrett Wilson and Mike Williams in that offense. You've gone all in on the Aaron Rodgers experience for 2024, potentially 2025. It makes too much sense. They are still lacking a playmaker of any kind at all in that offense. A lot of big names in the dynasty space that could have and should have probably produced quicker than what they have now. The corpse of Kenny Yeboah is on the team. CJ Uzoma is still on the team. We're still waiting for Oh man, why am I blanking on that Ohio State tight end? I'm sure you guys will tell me in the comments and in my DMs. They just need a tight end, and they need an all-around guy that can both block and can receive well, or at a higher level than what CJ Uzomah has been doing. Brock Bowers opens up that offense underneath and truly lets those playmakers on the outside eat. That would be the true third weapon in the passing game that this Jets team needs to truly make a run at a Super Bowl with Aaron Rodgers. Second team looking for a move tight end, both due to the lack of bringing one in, is what I would say, after letting Gerald Everett go, and then with the injury to Tyler Higbee at the tail end of the season on New Year's Day, the Los Angeles Rams. When it comes to move tight ends, I think you have a couple of different options here. I'm not 100% positive as to what everyone thinks is the best, but I think consensus in general is Jatavion Sanders. That's not who I have as the fastest, but it is who I have as the fit here. I see him in a very similar vein to a guy like Gerald Everett. Early career Gerald Everett was a lot of untapped potential who needed to fine tune his game and wasn't quite as fast as people thought he was. That's Jatavion Sanders to a T. Another guy that he reminds me of that I brought on Jesse and the other boys from the Dynasty War Games was that he reminds me a little bit of Irv Smith. The hype train will probably be there for the first 4 to 5 years for Jatavion Sanders unless he blows up as a rookie, but not positive it's there. It's the type of pick that makes sense. They like athleticism. They like kind of different molds at tight end is what I would say at the Rams. And with that injury to Higbee, you would have an instant starter need at tight end, which I think Jatavion Sanders can give you. Going on to Denver, also need a tight end. The piecemeal work that they've basically done there has not worked out. Everyone that Sean Payton has brought in from the past has not been good. They let go of their best pass catching tight end in Albert O. And now I believe he's on the Patriots, if I'm not mistaken, but he's now out of the team in the division as well. Bring in Benson just down the road in Kansas State, Manhattan, Kansas, all around tight end, true move, H-back type style. Very, very versatile and very, very sure hands. He is the best zone sitter in this year's class. The ability to find zone, which is a core requisite for a tight end base level. He does it better than everyone else in this class, including Brock Bowers. Bowers is just a moving chess piece that can beat people underneath with speed, athleticism, and his man-beating route running. Ben Sinnott is a better prospect at sitting in zone. I said it here. It's a fit that would make a lot of sense. Sean Payton has been looking for this type of tight end, this true move piece, this athletic piece that he can use in a bunch of different situations since Jimmy Graham's heyday in New Orleans. So it's the type of fit that just makes a lot of sense for me. Moving on to the Los Angeles Chargers, letting Mr. Gerald Everett go has left a hole in this offense. They brought in a true journeyman, is what I would say, Hayden Hurst, who is capable of filling a role and being force-fed targets as a need-be stopgap on third down and in the red zone, but he's not the type of athlete that this type of offense typically would need. He is going to be a good blocker in the Jim Harbaugh system, but they love running multiple tight end sets. The move tight end that they need desperately would be Jaheim Bell. When it comes to speed and pop, and I'm talking on-field speed, eyes and tape don't lie when you're looking at how fast someone is compared to everyone else. Jaheim Bell is the best in the class. Very, very quick, very, very explosive. The question marks I have is that he does not have a very good route tree and he's not a very strong blocker. So you kind of have to be in a multiple tight end set. That's why I'm giving him to the Chargers because it's the type of fit that makes the most sense for what he's capable of doing as a rookie. It's the most successful situation, which for me, that's what all of these are. I think these are the landing spots for these prospects that they will be the most successful in at the next level in their first years. Moving on to another team that needs a tight end desperately outside of Chigakwonkwo is the Tennessee Titans. They need an all-arounder, but more so a blocking guy so that they can turn Jaheim back into the Janu type of mold. Bring in Cade Stover. All around, very, very sound across the board, but underwhelming across the board is what I would say. That's who Cade Stover is. That's what Tennessee needs. It's a not sexy pick. It's a not, I would say, expected pick that people are thinking of as a big need for Tennessee, but a second tight end that can kind of take over some of the other responsibilities they've been forcing onto Chigakwonkwo just due to Josh Wiley's very slow development last year. Cade Stover fits the bill. And then Carolina gets my favorite guy, Mr. Theo Johnson, just the big boy, massive, speedy, athletic freak at his size, Theo Johnson. They tried the Hayden Hurst experiment. They tried the Tommy Tremble experiment. kind of combine the body of Hayden Hurst with the athleticism of Tommy Tremble, and you get a Theo Johnson, just a big, moving, hulking target that you're hoping a good offensive mind gets you. Carolina gives him immediate target competition that is at the lowest level compared to the rest of the league. All they have is Deontay Johnson and a couple of underwhelming prospects from the last couple of years in Jonathan Mingo and Mr. Terrace Marshall. So Carolina still needs some weapons, still needs some targets to toss around. Why not bring in a monster that can be a red zone beater and third down chain mover? That is it for the tight end position. Now it's time to jump into the running back position. I will preface this by stating the fact that the running back position and landing spot destinations got eviscerated with this free agency landing spot. At this position, a lot of the bigger holes are no longer bigger holes. A lot of the free agents basically just got flip-flopped between places, but there are still needs. So I found it kind of funny how a lot of the players that were shipped out from teams fit a certain role on that offense, and then they brought in basically an identical type of complement as opposed to just keeping in that type of back in your system, only to then still need what they were lacking from their RDB core. So it actually didn't change a lot of the options that I have at this position. We'll start with the biggest need team that needs a running back more so than anything, the Dallas Cowboys right now. The fit that just makes way too much sense for me is Blake Corum. It's just the type of runner that he needs a good offensive line to open up the holes. But if he has the holes, he's probably got the best feel in the class is what I would say. He's not my favorite running back. He's not currently inside my top five, but it would be a wonderful fit for him for what he needs as a prospect and what Dallas needs as a runner. They missed the smart, savvy running of Ezekiel Elliott last year, as opposed to the just kind of run into the wall and hope something works out vision of Tony Pollard. So Blake Corum is the type of ideal fit in Dallas that people would be clamoring to, and he would probably go as the RB1 in this class if he goes anytime day two to the Dallas Cowboys. Going on to the next team, and one that I still think needs a lot of help, is what I would say. That's the Los Angeles Chargers. They brought in Gus Edwards, but they love to run the ball. They always like the boom, bust type of potential when it comes to speedy guys under Harbaugh, specifically at Michigan, but they always had a burner and a true grinded out guy. They got their grinded out guy in Gus Edwards in free agency, but they are still in need of specifically a speed element on this offense. And when I look at speed, when I look at this class, and when I look at the type of fit that would make so much sense in Los Angeles in the system, I think of Jalen Wright out of Tennessee. He is the Tony Pollard. He could be the boom, just floor pedal to the metal type of prospect that in this system, with the holes that they most likely will open with the scheming of the offensive line underneath Harbaugh, that would eat. He does need a good offensive line. His improved vision, though, in 2023 is really not talked about in this class. Jalen Wright's currently my RB2. I love the dude, so I don't think he has to work on a lot. I don't think he has a ton of deficiencies in his game, but the biggest question mark that people have is, can he have a whole workload? Guess what? If you're in a Harbaugh system, you're not getting a whole workload anyways, and you're the type of compliment that Gus Edwards needs to make sure that you're not plotting for that 4 yards per carry, albeit efficient 4 yards per carry. Sorry, not four. I'm underselling 5 yards per carry. He actually has a deceptively under the radar 5 yards per carry across his career, if you guys weren't aware. You still need that boom, big play breaking capability. And Jalen Wright does that better than every other back in this year's draft class.
Now, transitioning to a team that still needs a speed complement similar to the Chargers, we go to the New York Giants. They let Saquon Barkley leave. They have not brought in a true, I guess, world beater is what I would say. They are currently planning on working it out with Devin Singletary. They need a speed element. And when it comes to pop and size and potential, when it comes to physical traits, Marshawn Lloyd at USC fits the bill for what the team needs. I'm not in love with him because his running style is lazy. I think he's more of a weapon than so a running back. But when you have a guy like Singletary, you bring in a guy like Lloyd to really just kind of fill the role and do very, very flashy things in those Saquon Barkley-esque type of mold. You can use him in the backfield. You can use him in the slot as a receiver. It's a fun fit. I think it's what the team needs. just solely due to the fact that they really didn't bring in any of the other running backs to really fill kind of a workhorse role. I think it's going to be a committee and feel it out most likely until 2025 with this, just with how the cookie crumbled for them. But when it comes to speed, the ability to pop off big plays in a team that needs big plays more than pretty much anyone else in the NFL, New York Giants and Marshawn Lloyd out of USC makes a lot of sense. A team that still needs a pass catching presence, especially even more now than letting Mr. Joe Mixon walk for some god awful reason and bringing in Zach Moss as his replacement, which was just a violent downgrade. The Cincinnati Bengals. Pass catching is the name of the game. It's the one thing that they have kind of underutilized still, even to this day, with the talent of Joe Mixon in this system. Luckily, new offensive coordinator coming in for the team, most likely going to be targeting more of the other players on the team in preparation for life after T. Higgins. Will Shipley out of Clemson makes a lot of sense. When it comes to Will Shipley on third down and his ability to catch the ball fluidly, efficiently, makes a ton of sense. The biggest fault that I have with Will Shipley is that his pass blocking is still atrocious, very bad, not asked to do it very often. So can he be a true third down back for this team? That I'm not 100% positive is something that we would see come to fruition, likely at all. But I have to put a pass catcher here, and there's already a fit that I just can't pass up for another pass catcher. So Will Shipley just makes a lot of sense. It's the type of back addition I would expect, because Cincinnati every year, they have Chase Brown there now from last year's draft class, but now looking most likely for a more tried and true just utility pass catcher to hopefully fill the role that Mixon vacated in a new offense. Shipley makes a lot of sense to me. The other pass catcher, Michael Wiley, out of Arizona. This one is just a chef's kiss type of move on a team that uses more screens, more gadgety stuff than pretty much anyone in the league. Kansas City Chiefs, give them Michael Wiley, big, flashy, pass-catching dude, allows Isaiah Pacheco to stay the true grinded out beater inside with speed for days. You then have two extremely fast, extremely physical backs in Michael Wiley and Pacheco in the backfield. Michael Wiley, in my opinion, is the best pass catcher in this year's draft class. If you haven't watched the tape yet, still recommend you go out and you do it, because it's too fun not to watch. The one question you have is the workload. He's never had it at Arizona. It's something that you don't have to worry about, because you're not going to be ceding carries as Isaiah Pacheco to Michael Wiley. You'll just be not having to be on the field every single down. Something to consider. A team that needs a true three down back, more so than pretty much anyone right now, is the Las Vegas Raiders. They let Josh Jacobs walk, haven't really replaced him with anyone of note. They're trying to run it back with Zamir White, who has shown very little, if anything, outside of two games at the tail end of last season to even remotely contribute to the fact that he could be a true three down bruiser. Give them Trey Benson. It's the fit that makes the most sense. It's a very similar stylistic play to what Josh Jacobs does. Very physical runner like Zamir White as well. Best of both worlds, and gives you a true three down grinder that would see immediate success behind a okay offensive line, I guess is what I have to call this now after the hemorrhaging they've had over the last couple of years, but in a most likely much better situation than what they were under Josh McDaniels. A team that needs a big bruiser. It's not something that they typically use, is what I would say, since the days of Carlos Hyde in this type of system, but give me Braylon Allen to Miami. I just think it would be a lot of fun, and it's something that I feel like doesn't get used enough for these kind of gimmicky, gadgety, speed-focused sets, is bringing in a guy just with a lot of physicality. It's my argument for why Derrick Henry to Kansas City made more sense than any other situation over the last couple of years, both his initial free agency and this free agency. Just the concept of having to defend a passing offense that is extremely efficient, that has a lot of different options with a lot of speed on it, as well as a big bruiser that if you do not put eight people in the box plus, they are going to run it down your throat basically until you decide to put them inside, and then they'll gash you on the big play. Miami is the type of team that needs this. It would make their running scheme even better just due to the fact that it's a straight line type of runner that Braylon Allen is. He's bigger than anything that they've had pretty much ever in this system, and it would be a ton of fun. I think he would have a very similar type of season to Alfred Morris's rookie season,
with Braylon Allen in this type of scheme. It's a fit that I like a lot and one that I don't see very often. So just something to consider. Let me know what you guys think about it. Another team that needs a true bruiser more so than anything, Buffalo Bills. They try to give James Cook a full workload. He gets nicked up. He's not the biggest. He's not the best when it comes to efficiency metrics. As games get later, he gets tired. He's less efficient, less fast. Totally fine. Give him the physical presence that they've been trying to pair him with for the last 2 years with their acquisitions and people that they brought in. Give him Adrick Estime. Adrick Estime out of Notre Dame is the type of fit in Buffalo that you would be drooling of. It's the type of fit where it makes a lot of sense. They've got the speed complement, the pop complement. You can put them both on the field. It's not like they don't put James Cook in the slot for 20% of the time anyways. Plot twist, it's what they do if you haven't looked into the numbers. Adrick Estime would be the perfect type of complement for a James Cook. It would be the perfect fit. They would run him quite a bit as they like to split the carries. He would see probably 10 carries a game. That's what I want to see with Adrick. He's very efficient early on in the games. He's kind of got the anti-Derrick Henry where he doesn't exactly get better as games go on, but he is a lot to handle. He is a true sledgehammer early on in games that if you're not ready for him, he's going to take you out. So just makes a lot of sense. When I'm looking at another team and the last one that needs anyone that's kind of in the third down role, I go to Cleveland. This isn't one I like talking about, but it's one that has to be talked about. Nick Chubb most likely is never going to be the Nick Chubb of old again. That knee got absolutely devastated. It's the second knee now that he's had this type of injury, catastrophic on. It was the reason that he fell in the initial rookie draft. They need a three down skill set, but they have some efficient flashy runners. The one thing I will say is there is a type that Sarkisian has. It's the same type that I have. I like one cut quick hitters. It's technically what Chubb was. It's technically what Jerome Ford is. It's technically what Pierre Strong is. Why not just give him Rasheen Ali? It's the three down back. He's going to fall a little bit. He could come in and basically help to alleviate that early season question mark of Nick Chubb. If they decide to get him back, if he does look good, then it's something that you most likely didn't have to spend up for because of Rasheen's injury during the draft process, as well as just this running back class being so deep that people probably aren't going to reach him for. He's most likely a fourth or fifth round pick, but it's the type of scheme fit, the type of skill set that they typically go for. And then just one of the few backs that I think could be a three down back with his current skill set. He doesn't have a lot of deficiencies in his game, and he's very good at what he does in this type of system. Going on, I want to see where these efficient running backs go. So I'm looking at a team where they don't have the best situation when it comes to offensive line. They don't have the best situation when it comes to the backfield stable they currently have. So they just need a running back from day one that comes in and is extremely efficient with how they handle the carries and what they do with said carries. When I'm thinking of that type of mold, there's two teams that come up in my head: Carolina Panthers and Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Tampa Bay Buccaneers were able to get by with Rashad White last year, but those were counting stats. Go back and look at him, actually dive into the numbers. And yes, he may have ended the season as RB like four or something like that, but he got just every carry. They didn't have Leonard Fournette anymore. Sean Tucker, RIP, unfortunately did absolutely nothing in that offense. They didn't have any other options other than to give it to Rashad White like 330 times last year. Enter Bucky Irving. Guy don't really like, guy that's getting hyped up in a similar vein to what Rashad White was. But Bucky Irving, when it comes to efficiency and getting everything out of every touch, is up there. The problems with him is that he's smaller and that he's not athletic. You don't need him to be athletic. You don't need him to be a bruiser. You can use Rashad White for that type of mold, even though Rashad White is a very good pass catcher. But it's the type of efficiency that the team is missing. They need people when they need 3 yards from a back, they have to be able to get it. If Tampa Bay has aspirations to get further than what they did last year with Baker, Rashad White doesn't have that capability. Bucky Irving does. He will find pretty much, as long as it's partially blocked correctly, he will find you the 3 yards every time. And that's why that's the type of fit that I really like for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. For the Carolina Panthers, this is kind of more of a hometown type of discount, a hometown type of team with a very efficient runner that also has athletic question marks, but boy, does he run nice and does he look good on tape. Ray Davis out of Kentucky comes in one of the most efficient runners from the metric standpoint and just from tape doing the correct decision-making process is what I really like about Ray Davis. He's a thicker build, reminds me a little of like a Devonta Freeman from Atlanta. That's the type of mold and type of player I think he could be, kind of on the smaller side, kind of a bruiser, kind of a physical guy. But his pass catching capability is extremely underrated. And as I said before, when it comes to efficiency, Carolina needs pass catchers as well as running backs that can do everything, that can do it in a very quick, efficient way. Ray Davis is that guy. Great fit in Carolina. Makes a lot of sense for proximity to and for the draft capital that are lacking at the top of the board. And then I'm sure you've noticed one name I have not talked about yet, and the final name on this list. It is a team that makes, in my opinion, the most sense for this running back who is coming into the season injured, going to a team that needs more weapons down the field. They just shored up their quarterback with a restructure. They are most likely bringing in a tried and true wide receiver one with their first pick in the NFL draft. I'm talking about the Arizona Cardinals and Jonathan Brooks. It is a type of fit that makes a ton of sense. They've got James Conner. James Conner does nothing but get basically disrespected every single year for how good he is. The main issue with James Conner is that at a certain point, typically between weeks 9 and 13, he will get nicked up and he will miss a chunk of 4 to 5 games. What do you need if you're Jonathan Brooks? A running back that can basically lessen the load, can help you get your training wheels off as you get healthier throughout the season, and who can show you how to be a really good running back and really efficient with your touches. Jonathan Brooks is a very good running back. He does everything pretty well, if not above average. He has the athleticism that a lot of the backs in this year's class do not have. And he's coming off an injury that I think, albeit some people say quick recovery might be a first one on, you don't really want to give this dude 15 to 20 carries right off the bat next year in whatever team he gets drafted to. Arizona makes so much sense because if you're looking for the long-term health of this offense with Kyler Murray, bringing in Marvin Harrison Jr. at number 4 and Jonathan Brooks, most likely in the second or third round as you're running back in the future, mwah, chef's kiss. And with that, we will close out this first episode. Quick hitter at 45 minutes here. Just wanted to talk about a little bit of everything. Went through 25 prospects across 3 positions here, team fits. And again, these are team fits based off of where I think they have the best success for their career with what this team is currently devoid of talent of at this skill set and at this position. If you liked it, hated it, let me know in the comments. Let me know in my DMs. And once again, this is part 1 of a 2-part series. I will be doubling down next week with the wide receiver position. We're going to be doing a deep dive. I believe I have, let's just do a quick count for you real quick. Boom, 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 boom. There are 22 wide receivers I will be talking about in next week's episode. All team fits, all the stylistic fits for those players. And then after that, we're dropping into my final pre-draft rankings, because boy oh boy is the draft coming up, my final thoughts on the class, and then kind of deep diving on one of the last episodes I'm going to do prior to the draft, just for full transparency for you guys, is going to be an episode where I'm going to be diving into if I am a predictor, kind of like Nostradamus, kind of like my premonition series last time. I'm going with who I think is going to get draft capital and who I do not think is going to get draft capital, basically. Couldn't think of how to phrase that, but look forward to these episodes. Look forward to the next couple of weeks. We are officially a month out, basically, about 5 weeks at the time of listening, most likely for you guys, from the NFL draft, and it is going to be a fun time. Go Chicago Bears. Go Liverpool. Any of you EPL fans out there, let's get some rooting ties for some Liverpool. They're struggle busting right now with the injuries and they can need it. But I digress. Until next time on the Rookie Rundown, I am Dallas and have a good time.
When we add up all those inches, that's going to make the fucking difference between winning and losing.
A game yesterday, and if we win one today, that's 2 in a row. We win one tomorrow, that's called a winning streak.